All right, everybody, we welcome you back. Justin Kinner with you here. Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. All right, we are, we're cruising through the non-conference portion of the season, but because of the conference season tipping off a little bit earlier, at least giving us a tasting, if you will, we have some conference games to highlight. We have some conference games to talk about. There are some teams who are off to an impressive start. Other teams right now haven't played more than one conference game. Some have played two, and we're just a few weeks away from really diving into the deep end when it comes to the full all-on Horizon League slate, of course. But let's dive into it. We'll start on the men's side. Excited to bring on our next guest. He's been the voice of the Purdue-Fort Wayne Mastodons for quite some time, not just on the men's side, but the women's side as well. So there's no better person to bring on the podcast, of course, to talk Purdue-Fort Wayne basketball, of course, than Mr. John Nolan. John, welcome in. It's been a while, sir.
Hey, Justin. Yeah, great to join you here. And, you know, of course, this time of the year, there are many reasons for joy. And on my list, I'm including the fact that we're in the heart of the season and even getting a little taste of some Horizon League action.
So let's just dive right into it. There have been – so there's a lot of teams in the – I think that every year I feel like we say this, but the league was deep last year, and I feel like it's on – I think we're about to see another deep, you know, league again this season just based on the sprinkling that we've seen throughout the non-con. But there's been a team – so Oakland beyond impresses me. Coach Calhoun at Youngstown's doing a fantastic job. We know Purdue-Fort Wayne under John Kaufman has just been nothing but competitive since arriving here, of course. But I didn't know what to expect from Purdue-Fort Wayne coming into this season. They lost some key guys, of course, but every time their score would come across the bottom, this is a high-scoring team. This is one of the best offenses in the country, and it's starting to reflect that in the record and the net rankings, of course, which I know you're going to highlight. What was your expectations for Purdue-Fort Wayne coming into this season? Are they matching those? Are they exceeding those? Or what was your take and feel and vibe of this team, John, coming into the season?
Yeah, and more, this is probably the case for a lot of programs and fan bases, for that matter, around the country, where you kind of don't know what to expect from year to year, just given the fluidity of rosters, sometimes due in part to the transfer portal. And in this case, with Purdue-Fort Wayne, they happened to graduate all five starters from last year. So that was really the core group that led them to a regular season title a couple of seasons ago and then another winning season last year. So I think coming into this year, there were just unknowns because guys maybe had some successful track records, but this group collectively had not really had a history together. So came in with, you know, not knowing what to expect, and then sure enough, opening the season with a victory on the road against a Big East opponent in DePaul, and the group has really hardly slowed down since.
John,
at 9-1, I'll just add in, it's the best start in program history.
Yeah, so, and again, the reason I asked you your perception of the team coming in is just because you would have a better feel than anyone. Just like, you know, I live here in Dayton. I feel like I had a pretty good vibe of what Wright State was going to be or not going to be coming in, and so on and so on. So I knew you'd be the perfect one to ask about that. But, you know, when you hear any team that loses five key quality guys like they did from last year, I don't really know what the popular perception is. But, of course, in college basketball, college athletics right now with the transfer portal, and, of course, just good quality coaching of developing players, you never know what to expect, especially at this level. You talked about tipping off the season, if you will, with that win against Big East opponent DePaul. The win that I'm really impressed by, too, and there's quite a few of them, but not just that they beat Oakland this past weekend, but the way they did it. They put 98 up on Oakland and won 98-77. Oakland has been kind of the talking point of the non-con, even though Purdue-Fort Wayne is sitting at 9-1. They get the big win at Xavier, of course. Oakland's really, really good, but I think that the staple win so far, 10 games into the season, is that win against Oakland, especially at Oakland. That kind of put everyone on notice that, hey, we've had a good non-con slate so far, but we're putting the league on notice. We didn't just beat Oakland. We blew them out.
Yeah, led by as many as 32 and ultimately won that game by 21 points as they scored 98. It was a historic shooting performance for the Mastodons, and that was a matchup they took advantage of there with Oakland, which primarily plays zone defense, and the Mastodons hit 17 threes, and that really wasn't out of nowhere. This is a Purdue-Fort Wayne team that's top 10 in the country in three-point shooting, and that has been a staple. I think one thing that makes them extra dynamic and is a big part of the reason why they're off to the start they've been on this year is that they basically play with four guards, four guys who are 6'4 or under, and they all have the ability to get into the paint. And so that's really created a lot of the great spacing that's provided opportunities for open looks. And then again, they recruit to quality shooters who are knocking them down. Now, that said, they followed up that Oakland win in non-conference action, an in-state matchup at Southern Indiana. They weren't shooting it at their normal percentages, and yet they held USI to just 57 points. So I think another calling card for this Purdue-Fort Wayne men's team right now is that they get after it defensively. At last check, top 10 in the country in steals per game. And then on the flip side, just going back to the offensive success, they're doing an outstanding job this year of valuing the basketball. So they have the very best, number one out of all 362 programs in the country, number one in turnover margin. So they certainly have shown the ability to light it up. Top 10 in scoring overall this year, 80 plus a game, but they showed recently here that they can kind of grind the game out as well. And so I think that bodes well going forward this year.
Jalen Jackson, you know, John, he's a sophomore, right? He's young.
That is correct. So Jalen Jackson, interestingly enough, grew up here in Fort Wayne. His mother played both basketball and volleyball for the Mastodons back during her collegiate career. Jalen started off last year at UIC and then decided to transfer back home. And so he's jumped right into the starting lineup, and he has been a big key to the success so far for the Dons. A 6'2 guard who's got a really sturdy build. And, yeah, I was talking about guys having the ability to drive and get to the bucket in attack mode. Jalen Jackson really has personified that.
Who is the guy then? The thing I love about Coach Kaufman's approach is, you know, they've had some key, you know, dudes throughout his run in the Horizon League, but it's been just that team attack, and that's kind of the gist of what we're seeing this season. But who's that guy that this team is not the same without? I know there could be multiple, but in your opinion, John, what's the guy that deserves a lot of eyes and attention on them right now? Is it Jalen Jackson? Who is the guy for the Mastodons right now?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because for the last several years, it was easy to answer that for the Mastodons. It was Jared Godfrey, a guy who previously was first-team All-Horizon League. I don't think there is necessarily a simple answer to that question this year, because they've had four guys, including Jalen, who've averaged in double figures this year. So that also includes Anthony Roberts and Quentin Morton Robertson, guys who were coming off the bench last season and now have elevated their games in a starting capacity. And then Rashid Bello is another impact transfer. And he actually grew up in Chicago, started out at Division II Wisconsin Parkside. He was highly coveted by a lot of D1 programs in the transfer portal this past offseason, including Northern Kentucky. And ultimately, he was attracted to the style of play that Purdue-Fort Wayne has with the up-tempo. And so he's come in and been the leading scorer, and he leads the team in assists too, primary ball handler. And then Eric Mulder is the fifth starter, who's been one of the top five rebounders in the Horizon League this year. And then even, you know, some firepower off the bench. Corey Hadnot, first 3 weeks of the season, three times earning the Horizon League Freshman of the Week accolade. And then again, for that matter, as far as honors go, Morton Robertson and Bello, each winning a Player of the Week award too. So I think that kind of just speaks to the diversity of the attack here, that you can't just key in on one guy, because they've got multiple weapons.
John Nolan, voice Purdue-Fort Wayne, the Mastodons, of course, for both men and women's basketball. We'll get to the women's side coming up here in just a second. We're a month and some change into this season, John, and I know you're primarily focused on the Mastodons, but I'm sure you're like me. You keep an eye on the entire league. And what are some teams right now? I mean, record-wise, obviously, Purdue-Fort Wayne sitting at the top 9-1 overall, a couple wins already in Horizon League play. What's the top half of the league looking like to you, just based on what we've seen a month and some change in, being the top three or four teams to keep an eye on? Purdue-Fort Wayne, obviously one of them.
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. And for a moment, I'm just going to flip it, though, to speak to the improving depth of the league. Yeah. And so Purdue-Fort Wayne's first home game in league play was against Green Bay. And so according to the preseason poll, for whatever that's worth, you had the Phoenix slotting in at the bottom. Well, Green Bay, they nearly pulled off an upset on the road against the Mastodons, and then they did take down their in-state rival in Milwaukee to get out to a 1-1 start in league play. So just saying, if Green Bay was projected to be at the bottom of the league, well, they already showed that they can play basically with everyone in the league. So I think it's great to see that there's I guess parity is the word that would come to mind in terms of top to bottom, the competitive nature, and even for some of those teams that are towards the bottom of the league right now. Detroit Mercy almost knocked off Ball State last night, so I'm just excited to see that. I think night to night, you really don't know what to expect.
Real quick on that, Detroit's been odd because their record obviously is not very good, but I think they were lost by 10. They were within striking distance, or no, the one. I think they almost beat Ole Miss earlier on in the non-con. Detroit's just an odd team as well. They have some games you're like, man, they're right there with some of these shocking opponents, but then they're losing the games that you would think they would have a shot to win just based on how competitive they are in some of those bigger matchups. But they're an interesting one, too. The records are all over the place.
Yeah, and a really tough non-conference schedule for them, but it just seems like it's going to be a real fight between the likes of Northern Kentucky trying to defend the crown and, you know, Youngstown State, an impressive start to the season. I think, again, when you go into not really wanting to read too much into the overall record, Wright State has played a really difficult non-conference schedule so far, so I think they're taking a lot of learning lessons from those situations that figure to have them in the mix. I mean, Cleveland State, when you've got Tristan Inaruna, potentially the best player in the league, got in the way, you're going to be in there. And, you know, I think, again, just top to bottom, we saw Milwaukee on the rise last year and feel like they're going to be a team that's going to be reckoned with as well. So we got a little preview of it here in late November, early December, and then following Christmas, it's going to be quite the league once we get to conference play consistently.
The men's side, Purdue-Fort Wayne, the Mastodons, 9-1 on the season. We've highlighted their great start. You know, they're ranked high up in the net rankings, as is the women's side, and that's where we'll turn our attention towards as well. But the women off to a very impressive start, 7-2. They have the second-best record behind Cleveland State, 8-1 in the Horizon League on the women's side, obviously. Conference-wise, already a couple wins as well. So, you know, you have the Lady Mastodons as well, who are off to a hot start, matching the men's hot start as well.
Yeah, pretty remarkable that just like the men's program, Purdue-Fort Wayne women's basketball off to its best start in program history at the Division I level at 7-2. And you got to give a ton of credit to head coach Maria Marcusano, her staff, and the student athletes here. It's year three now for Coach Marcusano, who took over a program that in their inaugural season in the Horizon League had just one victory. So this was really the definition of a rebuild. And Coach Marcusano last year guiding the Mastodons down to Indianapolis in the Final Four of the Horizon League tournament. And similar to the men, they're one of the very best three-point shooting team in the entire country. So there's something in the water here in Northeast Indiana. But no, it's not a mystery. It's outstanding coaching, it's identifying talent, and it's a tremendous work ethic. And so a team that has a nice blend, really, of upper-class veteran experience. Shayla Sellers recently surpassed 1,000 points in her career. And then at the same time, you're seeing some immediate instant impact freshmen, including Renna Schwederman, who grew up not too far away from Purdue-Fort Wayne's campus. She's the reigning Horizon League Freshman of the Week, and she's actually been thrust into a starting role due to an injury to Jasmine Limbo, the starting post player. So once Limbo comes back, this Don's team's going to be even deeper. But really exciting for them is they've won 5 in a row, and at this point their only losses came against Caitlin Clark in Iowa and then the season opener at Michigan. So, you know, they've taken care of business otherwise.
Yeah, I was just going to say how, well, Purdue-Fort Wayne, they're not the best Big Ten women's basketball team in the program, but they are one hell of a mid-major basketball program. They beat everybody else. Only losses, of course, coming against Michigan and Iowa, nonetheless. So that Iowa matchup, that was in Florida. Okay, I was like, oh, wait, they had Iowa at home. But no, that was in the Invitational, of course.
Right.
How was that calling a game for Caitlin Clark, by the way?
You know, I did not have the opportunity to call that game with the team playing down there in Florida, but yeah, I can just speak to you know what the experience was like for Coach Marcusano and her student athletes. You know, they relished the opportunity to have some extra eyes on them, and you know, someone like Amelia Bromenschenkel, who preseason All Horizon League, a senior who's really grown a lot over the course of her career. You know, it's just a great experience for them to go up against. You know, I'm going to say Caitlin Clark's the best player in the country right now. And so, again, you can learn and benefit from an experience like that, even if you don't come away with a victory.
Well, you know, I didn't realize you didn't go on that trip, but it's okay. Florida,
I wish, man.
Florida's horrible this
with
time
cold
of year.
Weather.
Florida's horrible
yeah,
this time of year.
It would have been nice.
Yeah, nonetheless. All right, excellent stuff. John Nolan again, voice of Purdue Fort Wayne men and women's basketball. Awesome enough to give us some time here on this week's edition of Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. John, we know this won't be the last time we have you on. We always like to touch base with some of the guys and gals on the call that have a front row seat for the action throughout the season, that have a great perspective. And you always bring some of the best perspectives, especially when it comes to Purdue Fort Wayne. We're a fan of those programs, and both the men and women off to a hot start. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Keep up the great work. Yeah, love being able to listen into the podcast now here. Every week that we're into the heart of the hoop season. And, yeah, certainly excited by the starts here for Purdue Fort Wayne basketball. And it's going to be fun this coming Saturday, actually a doubleheader for the women and the men at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. Two games for the price of one. So for anyone in the region trying to check out these programs on the rise, a great opportunity here on Saturday. But, yeah, thanks again, Justin, and talk soon.
All right, well, good stuff. That wraps up this week's edition of Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Excited for next week. We'll highlight the Green Bay Phoenix, the women's program. Brian Kolinsky is going to be our guest next week. He does the radio side for the Green Bay Phoenix on the women's side. So we'll chat with him, and we'll continue highlighting some of the top programs around the league throughout the season. Until next week, this has been Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. For all your Horizon League news, make sure you check out horizonleague.org.